Our text for today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and can be found on page 194 in the New Testament section of your Bible. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning?
Almighty God, we've come into your presence with singing and your courts with praise. We have confessed our sin, and we have heard the good news of the assurance of forgiveness. And so now, God, we are ready to hear you. Having been forgiven, we are in a position to receive the gift of your word. And so we ask that you would speak to us through the scripture and its interpretation, so that we can grow more deeply in our faith, that our relationship with you would be strengthened, that our love for you and for others would come alive. Speak, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. So those of you who have been worshiping here for the last several Sundays, we started a series called 2020 Vision. As we're looking ahead to this very significant birth date, anniversary of the birth of the founding of this church of in 1720, 300 years of faithful witness here in 2020, we want to get our vision clear about who we are as Christians, what it means to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, and where we're headed as individuals and as a Christian community. We want to have that clear 2020 vision. And so we've been revisiting these things that are identified as the marks of vital congregations. It is a document that's produced by our denomination that lifts up seven marks of vital congregations that are coincidentally aligned with the five G's that we've been teaching the kids. And today we want to look at one of the marks of a vital congregation, and what's vital for congregation is also vital for us as individual Christians, and that is Spirit-inspired worship. Spirit-inspired worship is the mark of a person and a congregation that has vital faith, faith that really means something, that has transformative power in our lives. Before we talk about Spirit-inspired worship, I need to talk to you about something else, and that is about idolatry. Idolatry is sort of a strange word. It's not one that we use very often, and usually when you say idolatry, it feels very old Testament, or you kind of imagine a tribal people maybe worshiping something that's made out of wood or a statue or something like that. Idolatry feels like something that is very old and very ancient and not really applicable to our modern day world. But the reality is idolatry is alive and well, and it just simply has taken on new forms. And the Bible says, when you talk about what are serious sins, things that are really, really significant in terms of destroying our relationship with God, idolatry is way up at the top of the list. For those of you who know the Ten Commandments, you know the very first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And also, "You shall make no graven imageries." Idolatry for the people of the Old Testament was the most significant challenge to having vital faith, to having a real relationship with God. It was replacing the worship of God with the worship of something or someone else. Putting something in your life that's more significant, more compelling, more attractive than the Lord God. That's what idolatry is. And when you look at it that way, we have a lot of idolatry happening in our lives, in our culture. When we love something or someone more than we love God, chances are we are experiencing idolatry. What keeps you awake at night? What do you find yourself obsessing about? What do you spend most of your waking hours thinking about? What gets you really, really excited? Might be a hobby, it might be a sport, it might be your marriage, it might be your house, it might be your money, it might be. Not that these things are bad things, but when they become the most important thing, then we have an idolatry issue. And when we have an idolatry issue, we need to get reoriented around Spirit-inspired worship. We need to come back and remember who is the most important, or who should be, who needs to be first, and get the first and the best of our attention, our time, and our love. Anything we love too much has the potential of becoming an idol. Anything that we love too much. God wants us to be passionate. God has given us a good world. God has put people and opportunities in our lives that are worthy of our very, very best effort. But if we love them too much, they become an idol. And we need to be reoriented around proper worship of the Lord God and God alone. And that brings us to this very important value of having Spirit-inspired worship. Worship is an elusive activity. When are we worshiping God? How do we worship God? What's the proper experience of worship? These are very elusive. It's almost a mysterious thing because it's very different. There isn't one size fits all when it comes to worship. Some people worship in a way that's very exuberant, very emotional, very demonstrative. Some people, when they're worshiping God, their whole voice, their whole body is engaged in that activity. There are people who raise their hands and raise their voices. For some people, the act of worship is so emotional that tears stream down their face. But not everybody. For some people, the act of worship is quite quiet. Almost placid. The presence of God, their experience of God, brings a sense of calm and peace and quiet. Their experience of worship is almost meditation. It can be very individualistic. For some people, worship is emotional. It's something that you feel. You just know it when you feel it. For some people, worship is very intellectual. It's something that a thought, an idea that comes into your mind, a new insight into the Word of God that makes you think in a new way or look at a problem from a different perspective. For some people, worship happens in a corporate context like this. They're brought into the presence of God by being in the presence of other people. For some people, worship happens in a walk in the woods all by themselves, or the extraordinary experience of the beauty of nature in different contexts. So when we're talking about worship, we aren't talking about one thing, because it's different things for different people at different times. All we can do is make some general concept, insights about the act of worship and Spirit-inspired worship. The first thing that we have to talk about is that worship's focus is on the Lord God. If we are going to be worshipers and not idolaters, it means that our focus, our love, our attention has to be drawn to God. And we are drawn to God through different mediums. Again, for some people through nature, for some people through scripture, for some people through ritual and practice, for some people through structures. But whatever it is, something has to draw our attention back to God. So we're giving our best and fullest attention as much as we can to God. And when we do that, it is an act of worship, whatever style and form it may take. The second thing is, when we worship, something should happen. Something should happen. When I say something should happen, it means that when we are drawn into the presence of God, when we experience Spirit-inspired worship, something shifts inside of us. Did your mother ever say to you, "What's gotten into you?" Has anyone ever said that to you? "What's gotten into you?" My mom used to say that to me all the time. Like, "What, you're acting in a different way than I would normally expect you to act. Man, I didn't get enough exercise. I was teasing my sister. I was, you know, doing something I wasn't supposed to." What's gotten into you? It's a really great question because if I were smarter back then, I would have said, "Oh, Mom, I'm inspired right now." Because that's what the word inspiration, you know, the word inspiration is one of the most beautiful words in our vocabulary. Think about it. You know, inspiring, you know, it means just on a physical sense, breathing. We breathe in and out, we inspire. But from the ancients, inspiration was the actual taking in of the Spirit of God. And that's why we've connected that word not just to breathing, but also to insight, creativity, seeing things from a different perspective. And whether you're a musician or an artist or a scientist or a mom or a dad, friends, let's agree, we need inspiration. We need something that changes us, that comes into us from outside of us, that gives us the idea, the solution, the perspective, the courage, whatever that is that we need in order to be inspired. To lead an uninspired life is not to really live at all. In worship that is Spirit-inspired, something happens. Something shifts. Something changes. And for some people, it is so palpable. It is emotional. They know that when they came into whatever that experience was, it was in a church, it was in a meeting with somebody, it was a walk in the woods, they left as one person and they came back in some ways as a different person, a different experience, a different feeling, a weight was lifted, something shifted. They began to look at their problems from a different perspective. They left feeling absolutely defeated and they came back knowing that they were victorious. They came in feeling like, "I don't know what to do," and they left with a plan. Worship that is Spirit-inspired does something. Something happens. Something shifts. I was talking to one of the shepherds this weekend who's with the kids on the retreat, who is a relatively recent worshiper here at APC, and she said to me, something has happened for her in coming to this particular congregation. She goes, "Virtually every Sunday when I step outside of the door, I feel different. I feel different. Something shifts for me when I'm in that place, when I'm singing hymns, when I'm reading scripture." There used to be a section of our sanctuary that was the crying section. Some of you may have sat there. Maybe some of you are sitting there now. This group of people seemed to find each other. And they would all group right about there, usually. And they just said, almost every Sunday when I come to church, I find myself crying. And I don't know why. I'm not a crybaby. I don't usually cry, but something shifts, something happens in the context of gathering with the people of God and being in that place and in that space. Something has gotten into them. Now, just because we feel something, feel some emotion, feel some excitement, feel some energy, doesn't necessarily mean it's the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, in this chapter in Ephesians, the writer is concerned about people who are feeling something that is brought on by alcohol. They're saying, don't be drunk with alcohol, with wine. Don't confuse that experience of feeling different with the experience of the worship of God. So that's artificial. That's fake. You know, and there are people who, because their lives feel so dead and dull, they can't wait to get home at the end of the day and get that glass of wine, have that beer, get that alcohol. They're so desperately looking for inspiration. They're looking for it in chemicals, artificial things. The writer of Ephesians says, don't be drunk with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be inspired by your encounter with the living God, and don't confuse the two. Just because you're feeling something, just because you feel excited, some emotion, doesn't necessarily mean that it's coming from God. In other places, the Bible says we need to test the spirits and have discernment. But something should happen. Something shifts. Some idea, some perspective, some weight lifted, some new encounter, some idea, something happens when we are connecting to God, because God cares so deeply about us. He cares about what you're struggling with. He cares about the problems that are on our heart. He cares about, you know, making the world more beautiful. And so he inspires us. He fills us with his Spirit. He answers our prayers. He speaks to us. My encounter with the Holy Spirit over the years has been so extraordinary. It has been so life-transforming. Things that have come to me in the context of these kind of gatherings, and often other times where I just know it's God speaking to me through the act of worship, through the act of receiving the Spirit. And it is an awesome and wondrous experience. Friends, pray for that. Pray to receive the Holy Spirit, to be inspired by that Spirit. That's the first litmus test. When we are experiencing Spirit-inspired worship, something happens. Something shifts. We feel something. We think something. There's a difference between that we are left changed by that encounter with God. But the second thing that I would call you to is the last line of this very significant passage of early worship. He says, you know, be with one another, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And then it closes by giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That, my friends, if there's one test of are you experiencing worship, it is, are you giving thanks to God at all times and for everything? See, worship isn't confined to 1 hour a week gathered in a particular place with a group of people. This act of corporate worship is at the very center of the life of our community of faith. But that doesn't mean that we come here and do this, have this experience for an hour, and then go out and idol worship the rest of the week until we come back next week and try to do it again. No, God wants to get a hold of us, so he is with us at all times and in everything. And when we are worshiping, the movement of our spirit is one of thanksgiving, of giving thanks at all times and for everything. When you get to a point in your life where no matter what this world may throw at you or take from you, you're able to be thankful, then friend, you have become a worshiper of God. Thanksgiving is a sign of somebody who has been inspired, visited by Jesus Christ. It is an awesome thing when people who have experienced setbacks and heartaches and death and discouragement find themselves praising the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything. An attitude of gratitude, an orientation that just sees good and finds encouragement. People who are bitter, have negative spirits, are constantly criticizing, are people who haven't found the heart of worship. Worship lifts that sense of deadliness and emptiness and puts us in a different frame of mind. You know it when you encounter a worshiper of Jesus Christ. There is something about their spirit that is so indomitable, that is so courageous, that is so positive, that is just always able to see opportunity and possibility. If there is one test of are you somebody who has experienced spirit-inspired worship, it is thankfulness at all times and for all things. I've seen some of the most amazing acts of worship in the context of funeral services, times where you expect people to be at their lowest, people who are touched by the Spirit of God, even at that time of incredible sadness and loss, sometimes are just filled to overflowing with this amazing thanksgiving that is only a gift from God. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and friend, it is wonderful. If you're feeling dejected, rejected, discouraged, I'd like to encourage your prayer to be, God, fill me with your spirit today so that I can give thanks at all times and for everything. And see if something doesn't get into you today. Lord, for those who have come feeling empty, fill them. For those of us who have lost our direction, give us light to our path. For those of us, God, who just have found ourselves going through the motions, may today, this week, the time to come, be a life of inspired worship, where we turn away from our idols and turn back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.